You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up next is a piece on youth work confidence in New Zealand, which showed that young New Zealanders are bearing the brunt of COVID-19. The survey focused on job security, with 62% of young workers between the age of 18 to 34 indicating they were not confident that they would be able to find another job if they needed to when surveyed between May and June of this year. Well-being of young workers had also taken a hit, with 44% of respondents saying that their well-being had deteriorated during the last lockdown. And furthermore, job insecurity has worsened for 27% of respondents, with many saying their well-being was directly related to this. To find out more, I interviewed Zoe Port, stand-up co-convener and Massey University researcher, and I began by asking her to give an overview of what this survey was and what it means.
And we define young workers fairly broadly. Officially, it's between 18 and 35. That's who we represent, and really we're here to speak up for young workers and stand up for young workers, hence the name.
So the findings from the Youth Worker Confidence Survey have been announced, with some quite disheartening results about youth in the workplace. Can you please give an overview of what the survey was asking people to respond to?
Essentially, it was something we sort of came up with at the start of the whole COVID situation, really wanting to understand how young workers were being affected. And it's called the Young Worker Confidence Survey because it was actually meant to sort of counter the Business Confidence Survey, saying, okay, well, we're tracking business confidence, so let's have a look at young worker confidence. And so it was sort of asking young workers how some things are going right now, like job security, well-being, their health and safety at work, their ability to find a new job if they had to, asking how those things are going now and then how they see those things going in 12 months, essentially measuring how people have been impacted, what's happened to their jobs, and where we actually got most of our data, unexpectedly for me, was what's something that you wish the government knew about young workers, and we've just been overwhelmed with so many stories, and it's given me a really broad understanding of just what is happening to young workers at the moment.
So why are youth the most vulnerable demographic in the workplace, and in what ways?
Young workers are more vulnerable generally in the workforce, but then this tends to get worse in a recession. Past research, for example, from the global financial crisis back in 2008, indicates that youth are usually disproportionately affected in job losses when we see big recessions like that. Sometimes this is because of a first-in, first-out policy. We also tend to find that young people are employed at industries that we call more cyclical, which means they're more sort of prone to downturn in recession. So industries like hospo and retail, and of course those are some of the industries that we're really seeing being badly hit by COVID too. As of the end of 2018, 53% of the workers in retail and 63% of workers in hospo and accommodation were under 30.
One thing respondents noted was the feeling that businesses weren't regarding their health concerns as they were seen as quote-unquote bulletproof to COVID-19. What could have given businesses that idea when, in fact, 20 to 29-year-olds made up by far the most amount of cases that New Zealand has seen?
Part of it came from the global rhetoric, which obviously it's not incorrect, that often older individuals were more prone to, you know, really negative outcomes from COVID, i.e. death and severe illness. So I think maybe that partly drove the rhetoric that old is vulnerable, young is safe. But also that completely neglected, and I saw this from my respondents, completely neglected the fact that, of course, young people can be immunocompromised too. Where young people can have immunocompromised family, kids, parents at home with them, meaning that getting COVID is still obviously a huge deal for them. But something that I saw alongside just the health risks, obviously we had these employers who seemed to just assume we can give our young workers long hours, put them on the front line, it doesn't matter, they'll be fine. There also seemed to be this assumption that young workers don't have families, young workers don't have anything else to do during this time, so it's okay to get them working these long hours. And it happened for students too. We had stories of student workers who would usually be working part-time now assumed that because their classes are online, they can work full-time. They're the first people to get these hours thrown at them. So I think young workers, they're assumed to be bulletproof health-wise, but also just these employers seem to assume that young workers just have nothing else going on. So let's just put them on the front line to pick up the slack.
Can you speak a bit about the power dynamics in the workplace between employers and employees in New Zealand?
I think there is obviously a power imbalance, and that has been driven over the years by the legislation that's in place. But essentially where the power balance has primarily been with employers. And, you know, it's very hard for employees to speak up about concerns, whether those are health and safety, whether those are legal breaches, COVID-related things, without fear of retribution somehow. This gets worse when we have people in insecure work, definitely. And that's definitely something we have been seeing for our young workers. Research from the ILO, International Labour Organization, showed that young workers are more likely to be in insecure, temporary, non-standard forms of work, which means obviously these workers, it's really easy for them to be let go if they raise a concern of something that the employer doesn't like.
Can you talk a little on the relationship between job security and mental health and what implications this might have in New Zealand for young people, where our mental health statistics are already some of the worst in the OECD?
So research has really for years now established links between job insecurity and poor health outcomes of all sorts. Both physical and mental, and this is for workers of all ages. So our finding there really didn't come as a surprise to us. We found that well-being was worse for those who had experienced a loss in income, which is something also found by the International Labour Organization's research taking place with youth at the same time. And obviously also those who reported that their job security had gotten worse were more likely to report poor well-being. This should be of concern to us here, given that, as you say, our mental health statistics are pretty shocking, and the current economic climate means job security is unlikely to get any better anytime soon. I mean, we had 27% of our respondents right now felt that their job security had gotten worse since lockdown began, and a further 29% feel that it's going to be even worse in 12 months' time. So I think, as it was, we aren't doing so great with mental health, obviously. We need to be targeting attention there, but now we need to also be cognizant that insecure work, lack of employment prospects is going to make that even worse.
Do you think, in a way, the pandemic is an opportunity to address youth inequality in the workplace, as it's sort of shining a light on areas that could usually be able to be swept under the rug? I know you mention at the end of your report the importance of youth being involved in decisions about employment in the future. Is this a way that we could mitigate this issue?
Absolutely. I think we are finding this pandemic, this whole year, really is shining a light on the things that people aren't happy with and the things that we aren't happy to accept as the status quo and that we want to change. And that's very much the same for young workers. They're now saying, hey, I worked so hard during lockdown. I was on the front line. I was at the supermarket. I was treated like crap, excuse my language, and I'm not okay with this anymore. I want to be valued for my work. So we are having people realise that they do want to see a change. And I think really this is the perfect time for that change to happen. Formally, at the moment, we do have youth representation in a lot of ways. Obviously, with Stand Up, which I'm a part of, we have a seat at the table at the Council of Trade Unions, so we can have some input into policy submissions and that sort of thing. Many unions around the country are also now having dedicated youth representatives. But more organically, I'd really love to see commitment from employers around the country to really elevate the voices of their young workers alongside other groups that may also not always be represented. Now is the perfect time for us to actually pause and listen to those young voices.
What do you think is the best way to go forward with mitigating this issue, especially as it seems COVID-19 may be with us for quite a while with, you know, differing degrees of severity?
I think ultimately a lot of the mitigation is going to lie with obviously the incoming government, because I think a lot of what we need is really structural change. I'd like to see more acknowledgement of the impact that insecure work has. I'd like to see more focus on actually helping those who are in insecure work get into more decent work. Because obviously there's a focus on helping to get people into jobs, which is great, but also we want those people in decent jobs, so with decent pay, decent security, so they're not worrying about whether they'll have employment next month. I think for young people, this also presents a really good opportunity, and I hate to sound like a cliche, but for whenever our next election ends up being, to get out and vote. They have really clear ideas in their head of what they want in our post-COVID future, things like the living wage, better housing, an economic rebuild that prioritises the environment and well-being. And so I really encourage them to obviously make their voices heard through voting.
The full report is yet to come. What do you expect to find or have confirmed in this?
I think essentially what we're going to be looking at doing to confirm this final report is really drilling down on our current findings further to get in a better idea of which groups specifically might be impacted the worst. You know, for example, one of our key findings was that 44% of young workers felt their well-being had gotten worse during lockdown. We'd really like to do some more in-depth analysis and find out specifically who is being hit the worst, perhaps which industries, what sort of roles. Obviously, we are hoping to run the survey over time. If there are any young workers listening who would like to have their voice heard as part of this data collection, you can go to bit.ly/youngworkerNZ to register to be part of the survey, and you'll be emailed when the next one is ready.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.